Would you turn with me to John chapter 14? John chapter 14. And while you find that, I want to remind you of where we've been these last few weeks. You may remember that last week we looked at how God uses believers not just to meet the needs of people around them physically, and that's needed, amen? We need to be out there ministering because that's one of the jobs of Christian people, to show God's love through the way we minister and love people. But not just to meet the physical need or even mental healing, but how we as God's children can be used for a greater work from God's Holy Spirit. You remember that? If you haven't been with us, just a bit of a recap here. We're talking about how the greater works that God calls us to are done not in our ability, but in God and through His Holy Spirit. Not just for the temporary things, but for the permanent spiritual needs of all people. That's our call. I like the way Dr. Jeremiah said it. You may listen to Dr. David Jeremiah on the radio. I tout him. I love his ministry. I love his preaching. But he said it this way. I like the way he said it. He said, in miracles, only God's power and goodness are revealed. But in conversion, when somebody comes to salvation in Christ Jesus, he said, God's grace is revealed as well. Amen? Something that causes even the angels to look over the ramparts of heaven in wonder. And if you want to read that scripture, it's confirmed there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, that says that the angels look over in awe and in wonder at God's work through His Holy Spirit on this earth. So once again today, we're going to look at what greater works means in our lives and how our Lord Jesus said He's going to help us with it. Would you stand in honor of reading God's Word? We're going to read John chapter 14 once again. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 10, we'll read through verse 14. Jesus told His disciples when they were asking Him about where He was going and how they were going to know what to do if He was going to be gone. And Philip, you remember, said, show us the Father. Do you remember? Philip said, show us the Father and we'll be okay. And Jesus said in verse 10, He said, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. There's a common misconception here, is there not, in this scripture? Perhaps I could just call on every one of you. We need $1.1 million to start the new building. Why don't we all just pray right now that pennies from heaven would fill this floor until we have $1.1 million. That means we would need 101 point million pennies. Y'all ready to cart that out? If we prayed in faith, would they come? Is that how God wants to meet the ministry needs? Is that how God usually does it? Does He usually, you know, when you say, God, I have a need, does He usually float a check down from heaven? And it sounds good. Folks, we need to remember that when we pray in the name of Jesus, that we are praying in heart, that we are praying in faith, that we are praying in the way that God Himself wants to handle the situation. That's what it means to pray in Jesus' name. Amen? Not that we just say, God, I'm looking for $1 million. Would you put it on this table in the name of Jesus? And then if it doesn't happen, people look at us and say, well, you just didn't have enough faith. What does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? I'm just going to give you a little teaser. We're coming to that, but not today. Hopefully, we're going to talk about that probably next week. Today we're going to look at the greater work still that he was telling us that we need to do. But I want you to read this passage one more time with me. Go back and look at verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, our prayer is that you would help us to understand what we've been told. God, we don't try to judge what you say by what the world says or by what we think. But God, we judge what you say by what you have said in other places in the Word to help us to understand the Word we read. So, Father, we pray that we would truly believe and follow you. And in that belief and in that obedience, that you would use us to do what you want to accomplish in this world. That we would be taught, Lord, to lean and to hold on to you. That we might, as your word has said, Lord, do greater works than you did while on this earth. It absolutely boggles our mind, Father. And yet we know that you said it shall be done, so we pray that we might be a part of it, because we want to be about the Father's business as well. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? We're looking at the greater works. How is it that we have greater works? I've got a message for you this morning to share with you, just some brief things. First and foremost, we have a greater message. We have a greater message. We have the truth. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that not a greater message? It's good to show compassion. We talked about this just a moment ago. It is good to show compassion. It is good to minister to people in their need. And we can help them with anything and just about everything. We help people with benevolence, with food and clothing and shelter. We help them with addictions, and we help dysfunctional families. But listen, folks, if in the process of doing all these good things for people, if we do not give them the greater, if we do not give them the greater work, that is, if we do not give them Jesus Christ and salvation, we have not helped them, right? All they do is, all we do then is postpone the inevitable. If all we do is help people be more comfortable here on earth, if all we do is help them to get a little more medicine to get them through the day, if all we do is give them a little bit of grace and peace for the afternoon so that they feel cared for and loved, then we have done nothing to help them in eternity. We have done no more than to postpone the inevitable death and destruction that comes when people don't know Jesus Christ. That's the summation from last week's message. We have the message of salvation, and the message of salvation is greater than any other message because it is for eternity. We can talk about love and peace and care and love your neighbor and be all kinds of different things to them and for them. But if we don't tell them the truth, we haven't loved them. I saw a message that has kind of become my mantra these days. It is a reminder that we need to tell the people the truth no matter where they are, no matter what's going on. And the little message went like this. It says, I am willing to offend you into heaven, but I am not willing to love you into hell. Are we going to just be passive? And are we just going to agree with people when they're wrong so that we don't have any contention? Or are we willing to offend them with the absolute truth of God's Word? God's Word shares with us that we have a greater message. The second thing we have is not just a greater message, but we have a greater ministry. We have a greater ministry than ever before. During his lifetime, the Lord Jesus Christ confined himself to a very small section of the Middle East. Israel is a tiny little place. A very important place, but a very small place. It is literally a postage stamp area of the world. And Jesus began his ministry there and trained 12 disciples. He lost one. The disciples then picked up one a little later, but Jesus trained 12, lost one. And while he was there, Jesus won hundreds of followers to his salvation while on earth. Hundreds upon hundreds. Now we know this, that after Christ ascended, he sent who to help us? The Holy Spirit. He sent the Helper, he said. He sent us the Holy Spirit. And on the very first day, it's recorded in Acts chapter 1. We talked a little bit about this last week. In Acts chapter 1, it tells us that on the very first day that the Holy Spirit came to this earth to help mankind do this, 3,000 men were won to the Jesus Christ, to his salvation by the gospel in one day. 3,000. And did you know this? You might not have known this, that in the next 300 years that Christianity closed, that because of Christianity, nearly all the temples of the heathen Roman Empire were shut down, and literally tens of thousands of people came to know the message of Jesus Christ and came to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, is that something that literally almost all, not all, but almost all of those heathen practices were shut down in the Roman area? Since then, men like Billy Graham and many others have stood before not just hundreds, not just thousands, not just tens of thousands, but they have stood before hundreds of thousands of people and preached the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of them at one time. Did you know that it was recorded that Billy Graham in a foreign country, I believe it was in India, said that he stood before 1 million people, that there were so many people they had to keep setting up sound systems across the land. Perhaps up to 1 million people. But today, dear friends, I think we have an even greater ministry, because with satellite hookups and with the internet, you and I can literally preach to multiple millions of people in the world at the same time. Multiple millions can hear the message. That, my friends, is a greater ministry. Is it not? That's a greater ministry. And today, because of the Holy Spirit, we can see greater spiritual miracles occur. Now, there's a lot of people who are going to listen and go, man, Pastor, you worry me when you say that we can see greater spiritual miracles and we can see actually greater miracles today. Listen, let me tell you what I'm talking about. How in the world are we going to get greater physical miracles than Jesus performed? He healed the blind. He healed the lame. He raised the dead. He created food out of nothing. It's called ex nihilo. It means out of nothing. And how are we going to do greater things than that? But today, because of the Holy Spirit, we will see greater miracles occur. Because of the Holy Spirit's work in the heart of people, those people who are spiritually closed, those people who are inadequate, those people who are self-centered, all of a sudden, because of the work of the Holy Spirit, become open and receptive to God. Do you know the people I'm talking about? I'm talking about first us, amen? Those of us who would be closed to the truth. We become open and receptive to the Holy Spirit of God because the Holy Spirit begins to work on us. It happened with Saul of Tarsus. Was he not one who was working against Christ? Was he not working against God? It happened with him. It happened with George Whitefield. It happened with Dwight Moody. It happened with Billy Sunday. It happened with Billy Graham. And it certainly happened with many others. Amen? Their lives were chaos until the Holy Spirit brought them to the throne of God. And that chaos was turned into peace. And I pray that that has happened for you too. Has it happened for you? Has it happened in your heart? And did you know this, that your witness can tell people about what happened in you. And that, folks, is a power that only you can share your story in that manner. You can tell them, my life was changed. My life was once chaos, but God changed me. The Holy Spirit of God came into my life, and things are different now. You have that opportunity. That, friend, is a spiritual miracle that can occur in their life as well as it did in yours if you will just share the truth. God can take a person who's going in the totally wrong direction. He can take a person who is literally going down the path to hell. He can take a person that is going totally contrary to God, and in a moment's encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, His Holy Spirit can work on him, and He can radically change that person just like that. And He can change the road that they're going down to a different road. How and why? Because the Holy Spirit's power. And why? To save them to salvation, to be with the Lord Jesus forever. He can radically change that person and put them on a road to glory with holy happiness and joy in their heart. Now, anybody who tells somebody, look, if you'll just come to Jesus, all your problems are going to be solved. Why would you lie to a person like that? Do you know that in God's Word, it says that when you are a believer, if you go back and read James, particularly chapter 2, is going to tell you, would you just be prepared to take your own share of suffering? Does that sound like all your problems are solved? Be prepared to take your own share of suffering? Listen, when you stand for truth, folks don't like it. And I'm going to tell you, the Word of God is offensive to the world. You don't have to be offensive in your presentation. Just let the gospel speak for itself. And when you do, it's offensive because it cuts the heart. The Bible tells us that the Word of God cuts to the very quick of the hearts of people. Your witness can tell people about the change in you. God, in His Son, we're talking about Christ Jesus, of course, is the only one who can change people like that. God's Holy Spirit. And that, dear friends, is a greater miracle than just healing somebody. That's a greater miracle than making a blind person to be able to see. That's a greater miracle than having somebody come back from the dead, because you cannot lose that salvation. You do not ever die spiritually when that occurs. That's why we are called to perform that miracle all day, every day, throughout our life when we know Jesus Christ. And that is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, first to our homes, and then to our nation, and then to the foreign nations. Are you ready to do that? Do you know how to do that? There's a lot of people out there who's going, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what the next step is. That's not uncommon. At least you know that there is a next step now, right? Are you ready for the next step? Here's my question. Are you ready to have a greater ministry? Are you ready to have the greater message? Are you ready to have a greater spiritual miracle occur in your life? What do you do next? How do I do that, Pastor? What am I supposed to do? Well, if you read this scripture in context, you don't have any trouble understanding what the next step is. Look with me again, John chapter 14, beginning with verse 12. We've read it twice. We're going to read it a third time this morning. John 14, beginning with verse 12. Jesus Christ, God's Son, said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. What did Jesus say our next step is? To what? Ask. To ask. What do we call it when we talk to God? Prayer. Folks, the next step, the important step, is prayer. Prayer is where you and I need to go in order to accomplish the will of God. You see, the power behind greater works is not your ability. The power in greater works is not having a pastor that has the ability. The power behind greater works is accomplished through prayer. Prayer. Are you ready to be a prayer warrior? That's what we're talking about. We've seen some wonderful things happen at Grace Point, haven't we? Listen, if you've been here very long, you have seen some wonderful things in ministry. You've seen people come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've seen missions accomplished that only God can do. You have seen people changed. You have seen a lot of things happening here, and some wonderful things have happened. But I believe that anything and everything that is good and godly that has happened at Grace Point has happened because of prayer. Not because of a pastor, not because of a people, but because of their prayer. Let me ask you, have you been consistently and daily and hungrily praying for Grace Point? Some of you have, but I'm going to dare say that most of you have not, or many of you have not. I know this for a fact because I have people tell me all the time. I have people tell me, certain people, and it's a few individuals, they say, I have been praying for you, Pastor. We pray for you, Pastor, every day. We pray for the church every day. We pray for God's will to be accomplished every day. So I know that we have a few faithful, dedicated prayer warriors. And I'm going to tell you what I believe is to be the absolute truth, and that is that they are the ones responsible for any success Grace Point has had. And if you don't believe that, you just try to act without prayer. You try to accomplish without prayer. It's like turning on your radio without plugging it in. No batteries. You might be tuned in, but you've got no power. If the secret to success is the power of prayer, and we've seen any kind of success at Grace Point in a small manner with a small contingent of prayer warriors, can I ask you a question? What might happen if the whole church started to pray like that? What would happen? We would not be able to hold on to the vision that God has given us. It would go so far beyond us. Bringing this ministry before the throne of God would empower it to the point that we literally would have difficulty believing our eyes. Regular, consistent, fervent, day in, day out prayer would change everything. You know what? It's exciting to think and understand what might happen if just a few more people might pray. What if just a few more? Let's just say that this represents the group of prayer warriors that we currently have. What if we doubled that? What if we tripled that? What if everybody in God's church started praying? You know what? It's not that we would pray that we might be able to do the work. Look at the verse again. And whatever you ask in my name, who's speaking here, by the way? When I'm reading the word, who's speaking? Do you remember? Jesus Christ, God's Son, said, and whatever you ask in my name, I am going to help you to do it. Is that what he said? And whatever you ask in my name, I am going to empower the church to get out there and get her done. No? Jesus said, let me just quote to you from John chapter 14, verse 13, what Jesus did say. He said, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Who's going to do it? Jesus. Why would Jesus do that? So that the Father may be glorified in the Son, so that the Father might be glorified. He said, anything you ask in my name, in the will of God, I will do it. Greater works, dear friends, are accomplished in prayer. And again, it's not so much that we might do the work, but he said, whatever you ask in my name, Jesus said he would do it. Listen, that is a huge distinction. How many times have you gotten to something and you just thought, this is a simple thing. And in my relationship with this person, all I have to do is hold my tongue and be a godly example. And you're going, I can't do it. All you have to do is say nothing sometimes. And we struggle with that. How many times have we prayed, God, help me. God, help me. Maybe we need to stop praying, God, help me, and just say, God, I surrender. You do it. That's what he's saying. Jesus is saying that he wants to do it. Sometimes we get so weary working for God because we forget God does not want to try to do his, God does not want us to try to do his work for him. Our legs are too short to run with God. Amen. It's not that God wants us to try to do work for him. What Jesus is saying is when we pray, when we are believers, when we yield to his will, that God is going to do his work through us. That God is going to accomplish it. We will get to be a channel of God's work. There's some times we do some commendable things. I've seen it in this fellowship. I've seen people do some wonderful, commendable, even praiseworthy things. Things that are done in the energy of our flesh to honor God, to serve God, to do things. But when God begins to do his work through us, that's when incredible things start to happen. When we yield and quit trying to do it in our own strength and we let God do it, when we stop and we ask God and say, God, what? When we say, God, when? When we say, God, how? That's when we get to the point that we can absolutely depend on God to do something in us and through us. That's when dreams begin to take shape that are greater than our memories. So let me just close out with this thought. Many years ago, Moody Church in Chicago had a pastor who believed so much in prayer that he said this. He said, we should never undertake more Christian work than can be covered in continual prayer. Pretty wise, don't you think? We should never undertake more Christian work than can be covered in continual prayer. Very wise counsel. And there is a strong possibility, dear people, that many of us are over our limit. We're trying to do more than we are covering in prayer. And we truly need to grasp the priority of prayer. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He's telling us, you need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to give you the power and the strength to do what's needed to be done. But it also needs to be covered and followed in prayer to the point that you are yielding to the Father. I'm going to remind you, we're going to talk more about this in weeks to come. Prayer is not trying to get God to do something for you. That's not what prayer has ever been for. And yet that's what we do mostly with prayer. Is it not? We go through what we call organ recital. Lord, help Grandma's heart. God, help Daddy's kidneys. Lord, would you bless the stomach of my friend? God, would you heal Pastor Gary's knee? And on and on and on. We go through organ recital. But that's, although that's okay to pray for people to be healed and to feel better, that's not the purpose of prayer. The purpose of prayer is not for us to get God to do something for us, but the purpose of prayer is to have our hearts to be united and agreeing with the heart of God. That's why we read the Word and we pray. We read the Word and we pray. People often ask me, Brother Gary, what are your plans for Grace Point? It's usually a visitor. What's your 10-year plan for Grace Point? I say, I don't have a 10-year plan. Well, Pastor Gary, what's your 5-year plan for Grace Point? I don't have a 5-year plan. You got a 3-year plan? Nope. Well, surely you have a 1-year? Nope. So what's your plan for Grace Point? I have learned that my plan for Grace Point always fails. Always. I can't even preach a sermon for somebody that I think ought to hear it, because as soon as I prepare a sermon for somebody that I know needs to hear this message, they're absent that day. You think I'm joking? Look around. Some of the folks who needed to hear this very sermon are not here. I quit preaching at people a long time ago, and I started preaching God's Word and let God's Word do the work. You don't have to protect God's Word. I love what Adrian Rogers said. He said, you don't have to defend God's Word. It's like a lion. Just let it go. It'll protect itself. Amen? Just let God's Word go. Let it do its work. I don't have a one-year plan. You know what my plan is? God, whatever you tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Now, does it take some planning to do what God leads us to at times in a year or two? Yes. But my plans always fail. God's plan never fails. Be careful, friends, when you make your plans. Rest assured that if we will listen to God and if we will follow God, then whatever it is that we know that God wants to do, He will be able to do it in us, even when we can't. What did Paul say? That I want to do, I don't. And those things that I don't want to do, you see how strong we are. But when we surrender in Christ and we go to Him in prayer and say, God, focus my heart. God, help my heart. Lord, let me see You. God, let me see what You want to accomplish. That's when things change. When we sincerely and fervently pray, God will show us what He's doing. He promised us that. We should never, let me say this again, we should never just do our thing and let God bless us. Mistake. Terrible mistake. We must learn to pray and to listen and hear God's direction. If you've been a part of experiencing God, you've heard this illustration before. Henry Blackaby talked about people who were asking for God to bless them as they go. God, I'm going to do this. Go bless me. But God can't bless them because they're headed in the right direction. If God had a particular direction for them to go, and it was due north, if you will, for us right here, and this was the direction God wanted to do, they would be running a big circle going, God bless me, 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 God bless me. And God, as He would see us coming to the place where He wanted us to be, said, get ready, angels, He's coming around. And as they got to that point, He said, pour it out on them. And God pours it out on them because they're finally going the direction He wants. And we get so ecstatic, we just start back on the circle again. He goes, hold off. Get ready. Are you with me? Is that what we're going to do? 359 degrees of our life, we're going to run our own direction until we finally get in that one. Is that what we're going to wait? Why don't we just wait until God says, this is where we need to go. This is what I want you to do. Go this way. And if we never took but the tiniest little baby step, except in the direction that God wants us to do, we would always be in God's will. I'm going to talk to you more about that in days to come. But isn't it exciting to know that if we will listen to God, if we will sincerely and fervently pray, God will pour out to us. Did I tell you that I love Dr. David Jeremiah? Love his book that I'm taking some of these thoughts from. But Dr. Jeremiah said this. He said, you don't have to worry about running out and trying to gather up for God. He said, all you have to do is, quote, just get under God's spout. And He will pour the work down on us. Just get in the right place and watch God work. Amen. God's vision for you. God's vision for your family. God's vision for me. God's vision for my family. God's vision for His church. God's vision for our church is greater than our vision could ever be. Amen. Let's concentrate on hearing from God. That's the difference. Let's concentrate on hearing from God and being obedient to the tiniest thing that He says to do. That's where the power is going to come from. That's where our strength is going to come from, because then we will be running with God instead of away from God. And maybe I should say it this way. Maybe I'm saying that if we will wait on God, we're not just running from God. God will pick us up and run with us. Amen? I'm going to say it again. Our legs are too short to run with God. Let's let God pick us up and take us where He wants us to be. Just start down the path. God, I believe, will give us the strength for the rest. I'm going to ask you, will you pray with me? Will you agree to pray for your church, for your pastors, for the ministries, for the people that we are ministering from and to? Will you pray with me? Will you join me in that prayer and asking God to make us a faithful people of prayer? Would you bow your head right now? And if you will, I have asked you and I have challenged you with this question. Will you join me to pray and ask God to make the difference? If you will agree with that, I'm going to ask you right now to say, God, I'm signing up. I'm signing up to be a prayer warrior for you. Will you pray that God will do His work in us? And don't start there. Maybe you should say, God, I pray that You will do Your work in me and through us. And will you set your heart to this? Are you listening? Will you set your heart to this? Whatever God leads you to do, do it. Be open to what God would lead you to. It will always match His word. It'll never go against His word. Here's my question one more time. Will you commit with me to pray like never before? Will you join me to pray for your heart so that you can hear from God? Will you join me to pray for your family so they can hear from God? Will you join me to pray for your church so they can hear from God? And when that happens, friends, you know the community is going to hear from God. Lord Jesus, we know You hear our prayer. And we know that You honor our prayer when we pray in Your name, in Your will, in Your heart, and for Your kingdom. Not for our glory, but for the glory of the Father. Then we know that we're in Your will. God, would You help us today to be a praying people? I believe, Father, that there are some throughout this congregation that have truly committed to be prayer warriors today. God, would You help them? God, would You strengthen them? God, would You lead them?